This is SB Nation Radio,
the next generation of sports radio.
On this team, we fight for that itch. On this team, we tear ourselves and everyone else around us to pieces for that itch.
This is the Casey Smith Show.
So let's hear it one more time. Together, clear eyes, full hearts.
Let's go.
Here's your host, Casey Smith.
It's definitely a Monday. That's long hair, don't care problems, right?
That is. I need a haircut.
We'll work on that. Welcome into the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday. Super Bowl 51 week is finally here tonight.
I'm so excited.
I know. It's
finally
here.
Taste of Houston this weekend. And
it's only been a week since championship weekend, since NFC and AFC championship weekend, but it feels like football's been gone because how little there was to talk about last week. We talked about that on our Friday show.
Random week.
Like, what the heck are we going to talk about? But it's finally here tonight. And of course, in Houston, everything gets kicked off. It's already been kicked off show-wise. But tonight, they do, I like to call it Media Day. I think it sounds better, but it's now dubbed as Opening Night.
Which you're not a fan of.
It's baseball to me, right? Like, opening weekend, like, whatever. But it's opening night. It's the media time to get to talk to the players and the coaches. There's supposed to be 12,000 people there live to watch it. It's going to be across all the
Houston
networks.
Houston in general is going to be a cluster this coming weekend.
A million extra people, they said, are going to be in Houston. And for anybody who's been to Houston, like, yeah, it's gigantic. It's obviously one of the biggest cities in the country. But I don't feel like they built it well enough.
It was built
for
terrible.
All these people.
I was driving all around this weekend in Houston, and I missed so many exits. The construction was all over the place. Like, it's going to be crazy with that many people there.
I'm from Dallas, so I'm a little bit biased. Of course, again, I'm losing my voice, but this time it's a legitimate reason, so bear with us here. But I'm from Dallas, so I automatically have to hate Houston.
Right.
I'm always in Houston, so I don't know how hypocritical that is on a scale of 1 to 10.
A lot closer.
But I will say, their traffic is horrendously bad.
It's awful.
And I have friends who live in Houston that are leaving. They don't even want to be a part of it. It has nothing to do. I know I've been joking like, oh, if the Cowboys were in it, no. The Cowboys obviously aren't in it. But I have friends who are leaving because they don't even want to deal with it. They're taking off work starting about Wednesday or Thursday.
A lot of people are Airbnb-ing their apartments. And
as
make
I
a
would.
Buck. Yeah, you can make a ton of money this weekend.
Well, and of course, the Uber situation, we've been told that it starts at like a flat rate.
$40.
$45 before you even get the mileage. I mean, it's going to be nuts. Of course, if you've been watching TV this morning, whether you're watching ESPN or Fox or whoever, NBC, all the sets are so cool.
Oh, I know. It's going to be really fun. And one of our girlfriends lives right there in Midtown, and you can pretty much see SportsCenter's set right from her apartment.
They've got the huge Midtown letters. Mm-hmm. It's going to be amazing, but it's obviously, if you're living in Houston and you don't care about any of the festivities, you want a GTFO and get on out. That's the plan. Welcome in on social media. If you're choosing to watch us, it's probably better to watch today since my voice is struggling. Annie's hair doesn't look as bad as she made it sound, I promise.
Got the brain going today.
Welcome in on Facebook, Twitter, and Periscope. Of course, gridironnow.com, SB Nation Radio nationally, each and every week, and iTunes as well. So, Casey Smith, Annie Kuntz, it's Super Bowl 51 week, and we could not be more excited.
So excited. It's going to be a really good matchup.
Well, and, you know, we talk about this all season when you look at the NFL, and of course, this show being college football centric, the NFL was always kind of in the background, but we hit all the major storylines because it's the NFL. But early in the season, it was the ratings were so down, and, you know, we beat that like a dead horse, just like everybody else did. But then, you know, the election came into it, which, by the way, what a crazy
affected
weekend.
Rating. Oh, yeah.
What a crazy weekend that was. Uh-huh. We're not going to get into politics. I don't feel like it, but it'll come
dodge
up.
Dodge that bullet.
A little bit. We're going to dodge it a little bit because with Media Day being today or opening night for the Super Bowl, I'd assume that Tom Brady is going to get a lot of questions, and we're going to talk about that too.
You'd imagine.
He is obviously friends with Donald Trump, and then this weekend and everything that went on politics-wise, crazy. But anyways, we talked about the NFL and just how down the ratings were. The election was part of it. The NBA opening a few weekends had pretty good ratings.
Just some bad primetime games.
Awful. Thursday night was really bad. Monday night football didn't really
do much for me.
I mean,
it was a really fun year for college football, so that was attention to
college football. And then, of course, like, I always make the argument too, like, you don't have to watch 3 hours of NFL football to know what's going on.
Exactly.
You can watch it on Twitter, you can watch it on, you know, Gamecasts, and you can go do something else that's more entertaining. Unless your team is playing, more than likely you're not going to watch it. Now, the playoffs were a little bit different. Obviously, we saw how incredible the ratings were, especially for the Cowboys Packers game. The Chiefs Falcons game was the same way.
Picked up a lot.
But in reality, there's not been a lot of great games. This game, both because of the quarterbacks involved. Anytime you get Tom Brady, everybody wants to watch, right? But because of how good Matt Ryan's been, because of how good the Falcons have been and the Patriots, this is an actual game we've all been waiting for. Mm-hmm. Of course, the lead up for Super Bowl is always crazy anyways. You've got all the parties, you've got all the events surrounding it, whether you're in Houston or not. But this game itself is what we've been waiting for an NFL standpoint, because in reality, even in the playoffs outside of that Packers-Cowboys game, we haven't really seen a good football game.
Yeah, and it's just funny too. I mean, we talked about this a little bit last week with the Falcons kind of sneaking under the radar a little bit. Obviously, we were wanting the Cowboys to be in the Super Bowl this year, and if it wasn't them, I was wanting the Packers.
Oh, you're going to bring that up, huh?
You are wearing blue today.
I don't do this on purpose, I swear. Well, sometimes I do, but I don't today.
It wasn't today. But yeah, I mean, it was a matchup that I wasn't expecting, but I'm really looking forward to now that we've been able to look at these two teams. They're pretty similar in a lot of ways, and it's funny that the Falcons are the underdog looking at all they've done this year offensively. I mean, they've had one of the best years in the NFL offensively, so I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup that I wasn't expecting, but really looking forward to.
The Patriots are still 3-point favorites, I believe. I know that's where they opened up around there. They still are, which again, a lot of people are asking, you know, why? Mm-hmm. Why necessarily? But you're right. I mean, these two teams, obviously the storylines are completely different when it comes to the experience the Patriots have versus, I mean, the Falcons haven't been since 1998.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, completely contrasting storylines, but the teams themselves, they are very similar. You know, you've got two of the most high-powered offenses in the league this year. The Falcons have been incredible offensively. And then you've got the top defense in the regular season in the Patriots. And then, of course, you've got Tom Brady. You've got Bill Belichick. You've got all that's going into this. And that's why this week, when you see these guys talk to the media and you see them do these interviews and you see their personalities, it's not just about the hoopla leading up to it and then it's going to be a crappy game or like, great, I spent all this money on this Super Bowl party and it was, you know, a game I don't feel like watching.
Right.
That this does have the feel that this is going to be an instant classic type of Super Bowl, because there is a lot of hoopla, but there's also two of the best NFL teams in the country this year playing and two of the best quarterbacks. And what Matt Ryan can do to solidify himself in the top quarterback conversation, and can Tom Brady, I mean, can he even get better? I mean,
right.
If he wins another one, does it do anything? I mean, I think it's already solidified. He's the greatest of all time in my mind.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we've talked about Brady being the GOAT a lot. And I think if he gets that one, which I am hoping he does, because I want to see Roger Goodell hold that trophy and hand it over to Brady. Just the memes that would blow up on Twitter would be unreal. But I mean, he's the GOAT.
Isn't that sad that we live in a world where, like, God, the memes
are gonna be great. I can't wait to see the memes. Like, they hate my generation. but I think the quarterback duo here is so interesting too, because they're really good friends. We've heard that they
the
text Boston on
connection,
the side, and,
right?
They had that storyline going for him. But Matt Ryan, to me, I think should win MVP. I mean, he's fifth best season ever by or passer rating, and the season that he's had has been so incredible. I'm really excited to see what he can do in this game, and I think it's going to be that head to head that I'm really looking forward to.
Look at the teams he's had to beat too.
I mean,
they had to beat the Seahawks, right, and then they had to beat the Packers, and now if they beat the Patriots, just the quarterbacks in general that are playing. I mean, you look at what the Falcons have had to do, and they have flown under the radar, obviously, until they're in the Super Bowl, because that's everybody's talking about them constantly now, because they're one of the only two teams left. Hit the obvious easy button there. But they did, because they were just doing it so under the radar, because there wasn't these super sexy storylines.
Right.
They were just getting it done.
Well, and so much of the focus was on the Cowboys this year and the Aaron Rodgers and the Packers and their storyline. So they kind of floated under that radar, and because they didn't have the top headlines that the other teams had.
Well, and they are one of the best offenses we've seen in a long time in the NFL. They're averaging an NFL best, obviously, at right at about 34 points a game. Then you've got the Patriots, who are averaging the NFL best on defense with a low of allowing 15-ish, 16-ish points a game. So you do have that contrasting style, but the Patriots have been in the headlines. Oh, they're always in the headlines. But you've got that added drama of Deflategate, the fact that Tom Brady didn't even play in the first four games. Then Jimmy Garoppolo gets hurt. And I mean, these are all things we've read all season, but now that it's finally here, we're going to get to hear these guys talk to the media tonight, and I'm sure they'll do like the little car wash type of thing. It's always interesting. What is this media day going to look like? What is this week going to look like? I'm going to be down in Houston on Radio Row this week later on. This is actually our only show this week from College Station. So
I know, sad.
But the Super Bowl's an hour and a half away, right?
It's right there, right next to us. Our neighbors over there. So you got to be down in Houston for it.
But you have to take a step back as a fan of, you know, whether it's just sporting events, whether it's the NFL, whether you like either one of these teams. What you're about to see in Houston this week is really putting everything under a microscope for these two teams. And a lot of times, I hate it. A lot of times we don't actually get to talk about the game on the field because everybody wants to hear all the side storylines. But I think for the Falcons, I do think that that's going to be the storyline. Yeah. Is their play on the field, you know, what can Matt Ryan do to really thrust himself into that conversation of one of the best quarterbacks in the league? Yeah. I think that's pretty obvious right now. Mm-hmm. But for the Patriots, I think it's going to be very difficult to find on the field storylines because of everything that's going on. Yeah, there's a ton of them, and I wish that was all that was talked about. Mm-hmm. But as
it's the off the field stuff that's surrounding the Patriots and the storylines going into the Super Bowl for sure.
Tom Brady is going to be asked a multiple array of questions that have nothing to do with football. We know that. What do you think they're going to ask him the most? I mean, that's like
they're going to ask about Trump for sure. I mean, how do they not? He's definitely going to be asked that. They're going to ask him about his dad for sure, I think, and the comments that have come out for him. But yeah, with the Patriots, there's just so many different storylines floating around. Around outside of the game, and the Falcons, I think you look at them, you talked about their the teams that they've had to beat, and I think a huge storyline for them is going to be their defense really stepping up in the playoffs, because that was their weak spot all year long, and they were actually able to get after Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers and really make them uncomfortable in the pocket. So I think for the Falcons, it's going to be more of the on the field questions and how far they've come, especially defensively. But with the Patriots, I think it's going to be opposite.
Well, before we go any further, I know you mentioned Mr. Tom Brady Sr., radar. Like, I didn't see it until earlier this morning. And of course, you know, now anytime Tom Brady's in the headlines, you're going to look at it. But we don't have to explain Deflategate. If you're listening to or watching this show,
you know what Deflategate is.
You're a sports fan. So, hello. It was the biggest sports storyline for a long time. But everybody wants Tom Brady, at least from a selfish standpoint, wants Tom Brady to come out and just be like, screw this. Like, I didn't do it, whatever. But like, because it's the Patriots way, because it's Tom Brady way, they're so very PC. Tight-lipped. They don't say probably what they really say behind closed doors. But we got a gem of entertainment from Mr. Tom Brady Sr., who was on in San Francisco, a local show, I think.
Yeah, it was.
And local, yeah. Of course, you know, everybody loves Tom Brady. He's a hometown hero, whatever it may be. But they asked Mr. Tom Brady Sr. about his feelings on Roger Goodell. Obviously, all of the attention on will he be handing them the Lombardi Trophy in less than a week.
I hope so. So I can get my popcorn ready to watch.
Right. He talked for a long time, but Tom Brady Sr. with some very harsh words about Roger Goodell.
I think any parent can understand that they'd rather take the slings and arrows in the heart than have their kids take it. And for what the league did to him, what Roger Goodell constantly lied about is beyond reprehensible as far as I'm concerned. He went on a witch hunt and got in way over his head and had to lie his way out numerous ways. And the reality is Tommy never got suspended for deflating footballs. He got suspended because the court said that Roger Goodell could do anything that he wanted to do to any player for any reason whatsoever. That's what happened. The NFL admitted they had no evidence on him.
Ouch. The three things that stood out to me.
Shots fired.
Yeah. Well, and then of course, Tom Brady came out this morning on a Boston station and said he laughed about it, but he said, I've now banned my dad from talking to the media.
Which I think people, more professional athletes, should take note of and maybe do that with their own families, because that can be an issue.
And look, what he said, I agree with. Now, we've talked about this on this show. I've talked about it outside of doing radio and television. I do not care about Deflategate. I don't think that it was anywhere near as big of a deal as it was made out to be. Obviously, when people start throwing around things with the Supreme Court, you're like, seriously, it's deflating footballs. Oh, and by the way, when the whole thing happened and they reinflated the footballs in that second half of that game, Tom Brady was incredible. So, right. Like, let's be honest here. But if I'm his dad, I would feel that way too. Your parents always want to protect you, right? But he comes out the week of the Super Bowl leading up to all the media. So you know that as soon as the Patriots land, whatever time they get in today, and they've got to be there from 8 to 11 Eastern. The questions that are going to come to Tom Brady about his dad, incredible. But the three things that stood out to me when I listened to that, and that was a shorter segment, but yes. He said the word lie multiple times. Mm-hmm. Roger Goodell lied. It was a witch hunt, and then he called Tom Tommy. So, of course, he's a junior, right? But, like, this is a dad who's watching his son, who's the greatest quarterback of all time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Obviously, there are other guys like Joe Montana and whatever. You can make that argument. To me, it's Tom Brady, and he can solidify that on Sunday. But he's watching this ridiculous thing unfold just like the rest of us are, and he's like, well, screw you, Roger Goodell. I'm going to speak out, and I'm going to do it on TV so everybody can talk about
Which
it.
Which I love, because we know that Tom Brady is not going to come out and say anything like that. Who knows how he actually feels. He's very good about keeping it PC and in-house. And so for his dad to come out and say what we think Tom Brady's always wanted to say. I love it. I think it's hilarious. But I love that Tom Brady said, all right, Dad, no more media for you. Right. I do the same thing with my mom and dad.
Oh, well, and I've had, on the very small, small scale of social media that I've had, I've even had to tell my dad, Dad, no, no, like, let's not.
If I ever, I love Ron's, your dad's Instagram, though.
We're not getting into this. We are. He's a basic girl on Instagram. But no, I mean, in reality, if you have to think about, from our standpoint, Tom Brady is Tom Brady.
Yeah.
So you're like, oh, you know, he's like a legend. He's obviously a sports hero. People look up to him, but he's still a son, a father, yeah, a husband. And you know, these people are pissed, but because of the way that they handle it in New England and all around, mm-hmm, that they don't answer those questions. And the cool thing about the Falcons this year too, is that they haven't had these big time storylines where somebody said something dumb. They've just come out and gotten done what they need to. But now leading up, now we're 6 days away from the Super Bowl. Everybody's in Houston. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming to Houston. Now all the attention is, how are these teams going to respond to the questions they're asked? Mm-hmm. And if I had to make a bet, I'd bet that they're going to be drastically different types of questions, and that Tom Brady's going to have to answer, well, how do you feel about Mr. Roger Goodell? And he's going to give the answer that everybody's going to expect him to give. Nothing.
Right. Not going to give in. We got 6 days of this stuff to look forward to, and then trying to dig these questions out of these players, which I'm kind of looking forward to.
Well, and that's okay. So if if you are on social media, we can kind of interact with you. Since we're radio first, we're going to look at each other because
you see something.
But we want to hear from you guys. So do you care about the Super Bowl this Friday? I just saw a comment. See, the Super Bowl is 6 days away. Mm-hmm. Well, turn on any national network right now. That's all that everybody's talking about. In fact, they're going to be in Houston. Of course, National Signing Day in college football is on Wednesday. TexAggs.com is going to have an incredible show, mm-hmm, for you if you're an Aggie fan. Of course, ESPN, ESPNU will be breaking all of that down. The NBA right now is just kind of an afterthought. I mean, mm-hmm, if you watched our show on Friday or listened, we kind of did the whole what headlines can we pull? Now, I will say, Australian Open this weekend, phenomenal. That, mm-hmm, Roger Federer, Rafa Nadal match, everything we wanted it to be. Went to five sets. It was super dramatic. I didn't think Nadal was going to lose. I really thought he was going to pull it out. Of course, now Federer has 18. Mm-hmm. Right, Ronnie? It's 18 now,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he's at 18 now.
18. So,
I wonder if Ronnie's pretty upset that Nadal didn't,
yeah,
win.
Ronnie, how did you feel about that?
Well, so I actually did wake up. I set my alarm for about 4 a.m., woke up after about a set apiece and watched the last three sets.
True dedication.
I was sad. I mean, obviously, like I said on Friday, I'm a big Nadal fan, and he didn't win, but at the same time, kind of what I was saying the other day is that I don't root for Roger Federer, but I can respect Roger Federer.
You have to at this
and
point.
Seeing him at 35 years old, is the oldest person to win a major since 1972.
Wow.
I think it just shows another chapter of his greatness that no one has won a major at this age, mm-hmm, in this long. And he was seeded 17th. It's not like he was seeded top four like he has been his whole career. He's definitely on the backside of his career, but to see him win one more, it was sweet, and seeing his family react and how it looked like he won his first major. I mean, he had that reaction on his face, and it's just really cool. It was cool to see. I wish it would have been Nadal, but it was really cool to see.
Do you think they'll match up again?
I don't know. Probably not in a final. I mean, we never thought it would happen again. It's been 6 years since the last time this happened.
Yeah.
I don't know if it'll ever happen in the final again. I bet they'll face off at some tournament, but in a final of a major, I'd say no.
It was so much fun to watch, of course. We talked about that on Friday night, just how anytime you get a rivalry like that in any professional sport, I mean, really any sports, but especially in professional sports, mm-hmm, because those rivalries are so much more difficult. Because then you look at college, and you've got the Alabama-Auburn rivalry, and you can go down the list. Those will always be big-time rivalries in professional sports. The guys change so much. I mean,
yeah,
they don't.
It's business.
So obviously, anytime you get that, and then for it to live out to what it was, and then it's crazy. And I know you've been in a situation where you've had to stand up when you've lost, mm-hmm, because you played multiple college sports, still training for the Olympics. So you've had to go through that too. Mm-hmm. Watching, on Sunday, watching Nadal have to stand there, and I mean, they do it all the time. Everybody's got to do it. But they've both been there so many times. I mean, Nadal's got 14 of them. So it's not like it's the first time he's had to stand up there and lose or win. Mm-hmm. But the whole time that ceremony is going on, and you see Roger Federer, he did look like he had just won his first major. It's like, oh my God. And then you look at Nadal and it's like, crap. Mm-hmm. Like, that would suck so bad to have to stand there.
It's deflating. Anytime those moments, it's tough because you work so hard and you get to that point. And whenever he comes up short, it's a tough moment. But You got to think that, that's going to fuel the fire for next time. And he's obviously been so successful in his career already and will continue to be. So I think that'll just kind of fuel the fire a little bit more.
Absolutely.
That's the way you have to look at it, I think.
You have to. That, and that's why sports are such a good time to really just whatever you're going through, whether it's personally, whether it's at work, mm-hmm. whether it's politically, whatever it is, you get to just escape from that. And that's why I love sports. That's why I like working in sports, because it is that escape. And to, and to watch a tennis match like that or a golf tournament, of course, we talked about Tiger Woods on Friday. Did anybody watch that tournament after he got missed the cut?
Doubtful.
I mean, I know some the very hardcore PGA fans did, but Tiger, come on. We're not going to revisit that. We talked about that a lot on Friday. But it's a way to escape reality. And so when you do have things that are going on like that, you know, with the Super Bowl, I guess all week, the people are, I mean, I saw where people are lined up like 5 o'clock in the morning to get into these shows.
It's nuts.
Because it's a way to escape reality. Mm-hmm. And when you have not only a way to escape reality, also a good matchup in whatever sport it may be. What more can you ask for as sports
fans? What you love. I love rivalry games. I love, there's just so much more, especially as a player that goes into those games. I mean, you get those butterflies, like you, it's just, there's nothing like that feeling. And then as fans, I mean, just all of the hoopla that surrounds it, you kind of feed off of it as a player with the fans like that look forward to it so much. And there's nothing I like more than rivalry games and matches like that.
Well, we ask on Friday for people who are big time football fans, you know, what show or what sport do they escape from? I mean, everybody's got their TV shows, right? Like, I could watch Breaking Bad every single day. I could watch Entourage every single day. But I still want to watch sports. Mm-hmm. So what sport do you like to get away from? We obviously know producer Ron, and back he loves tennis. Carly likes gymnastics. You know, you talk about how sports fans just need that appetite. Mm-hmm. And now here we are, Super Bowl week. So many different things to talk about. And unfortunately, I guess it's I say this understanding some people will disagree with me, but I don't want to hear Tom Brady talk about politics. And we're going to get into that because I do think that obviously, especially this day and age of social media, of the way everything handles, you know, emotions of how you feel.
Well, and this year in politics,
it all blends.
Absolutely insanity.
It all blends. So welcome into the Casey Smith Show. If you're just joining us, whether you're listening to us on SB Nation Radio nationally, or you're watching us on our added social media camera feeds, as joined as always by Annie Kuhn. So if you are on social media, we want to hear from you guys. Send us in questions, comments, concerns.
We want to hear from you.
Complaints.
Everybody. Yeah.
Actually,
asking for advice. Valentine's Day is coming up.
Valentine's Day.
We can give you guys some advice.
Around Christmas time, we had some guys, you know, text in about what to get their girlfriends
for
Christmas. And we did a good job.
Yeah,
we gave good advice. Ladies, we're here for you. So Cinnamon and Carly will kind of gather those up. One of the big questions that I have, and I really want to discuss with you, Annie, and I was asked this on Fox Sports Radio last week with Clay Travis, and I've talked to people both on and off air about this, is do you care not just about, obviously Tom Brady's the one that's coming up right now because of his relationship with Donald Trump, but do you care who people voted for?
No, I really don't.
A lot of people are making a big deal about it. You know, there's going to be we talk about media day and opening night tonight, which again, I hate, but I'm going to call it that because mm-hmm. that's what it's called. Where everybody, all the media outlets get to talk to the players and the coaches for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. You know, he is going to get so many questions about his relationship with Donald Trump, especially now looking at what happened over the weekend. Mm-hmm. We're not doing a politics show. If I did a politics show, I could sit up here for probably a week. Mm-hmm. That's not what I'm paid to do, but big time weekend in politics, obviously a lot of controversy, a lot of conspiracy, a lot of very unhappy people, both with and without a platform. I just don't care who Tom Brady voted for. I wouldn't care no matter who it was. I don't mm-hmm. care if the entire Atlanta Falcons team voted for Hillary and the entire Patriots voted for Trump. I don't care, but you know he's going to get those questions.
You know he is. And I think it's unfortunate because the platform that he's on and how high profile he is, that's just going to come with the territory. And it's not fair. I mean, you don't look at, I mean, that's his job. He's out there. That is his profession. And he shouldn't be judged on or interrogated about who he was voting for. I mean, you look at any job that we have and it's not like you're sitting around there getting interrogated about your decisions and who you voted for in the politics you side with. So I just don't think it should be a focus, especially this week looking into the Super Bowl. But you know it's going to be.
Well, absolutely. Because, I mean, and look how crazy this election was. And we know that. And again, the more that social media grows, which it doesn't look like that's going to stop anytime soon. And there's all these different ways for you to be able to voice your opinion, whether you've got one follower or you've got 100 million followers. Mm-hmm. You are able to voice your opinion in a way that in the old days, before the internet, before all that, nobody could hear you. I mean, you couldn't get to these people. You could never be able to tweet at the president of the United States at Roger Goodell or at Tom Brady, just talking about the people that are in play this week. But you can now. It's a way for people to be able to use their voice. Here's my thing. Politics are extremely important. One of my biggest pet peeves is when people say, hey, stick to sports. Well, if you're an accountant, I don't say stick to accounting. I don't say stick to filing my taxes. Right. Everybody has their own opinion. Yeah. Politics is obviously a very sensitive subject, just like religion, just like race, just like anything else. But to me, if I'm watching the Super Bowl, if I'm watching all of the hoopla leading up to the Super Bowl, I'm watching it for the Super Bowl. Mm-hmm. What Tom Brady, what Bill Belichick, what Matt Ryan, what any of these guys choose to do privately.
It's their own prerogative. I mean, that's why we live in this great country.
And of course, Donald Trump right now is a big hot topic. And I totally get it. I get why people are talking about it. I've talked about it off air. We've had discussions about it. I got in a very long discussion about it with multiple of my friends this weekend because it is a massive deal. Mm-hmm. But I don't care if Fox asks Tom Brady about his relationship with Trump because I'm not watching Tom Brady for his relationship with anybody else but that team. Mm-hmm. I want to see him win a fifth Super Bowl. I want to see the Patriots. I mean, I'm rooting for the Patriots because that's who I'm siding with. Mm-hmm. If the Falcons win, that's incredible. I think it's going to be a great game. It has nothing to do with politics in my mind. Mm-hmm. And
especially when like you're like us, we don't really have a dog in the fight. I mean, I'm not a diehard Patriots or Falcons fan. So we just want the entertainment. We want a good game. We want all that is the Super Bowl, the halftime show. It's an entertainment thing, and that's why we're watching. So I don't think it should have anything to do with Trump and his relationship with Brady.
If you're watching us on social media, weigh in. Our producer Carly is going to kick some of the questions and comments. And hey, if you disagree with me, I want to hear why.
We don't care.
I want to debate it with you.
We'll hear it out.
I'm in one of those moods today, even though my voice is going down. I'm like, bring it on.
No,
but do you care who these people voted for? And I'm using Tom Brady and Donald Trump as the example because you know that's what he's going to get. Mm-hmm. And actually, I saw an opinion piece on USA Today that came out this morning that was like, the person that wrote it believed that Donald Trump should be a subject for Tom Brady and that he should come out and have to answer about his relationship because of the events of this past weekend. I disagree with that. Obviously, I think that every single person, no matter what your career path is, mm-hmm. you're going to have things that happen outside of your career that you shouldn't have to answer to. Race, religion, politics, gender, whatever that may be. So I don't care. Now, if he was in politics, mm-hmm. hell yeah. You're going to answer that. If you're, you know, Fox Sports politics reporter and I ask you about your opinion on politics, you better be able to give it to me.
He's an NFL quarterback.
I just don't care.
Yeah. Well, we have someone that says, don't care who Brady voted for. Don't care who Katy Perry voted for. Don't even care who either of you voted for. It's completely irrelevant to anything outside of your own personal spaces. I completely agree.
Completely agree. And that's the thing. Like, you know, and you look at Hollywood, right? So obviously the SAG Awards were last night. And anytime you see an actor, actress, artist, whoever get up and speak, it could easily go politically. Mm-hmm. And I don't, again, I saw
that with Meryl Streep.
We've seen it with Leonardo DiCaprio mm-hmm. before. You see it with all these people, but now it's starting to bleed into sports. And I think that it has in the past. Obviously, you saw like Muhammad Ali and you see these guys who get involved, but it's been nothing like it's been because of this election, because we've never seen anything like this. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying that they should or should not have an opinion. If they want to, if Tom Brady wants to get up there and says, here's why I voted for Donald Trump, or whether he did or not. I mean, I think that's the assumption, right? I mean, he wore like a make it great.
Yeah, I was gonna say the hat kind of gave it away.
That's easy. But if he wants to get up there and tell everybody why, cool. But I don't care. If he doesn't want to, it's private. And mm-hmm. I just don't care. And especially right now with how political our world is, when I've got sports to escape it, why not?
That's why I am. All the things surrounding politics these days, it's just a lot of chaos, I think. And so for us, especially being such sports fans that we are, it's nice to just be able to turn on the football and zone out and not focus on anything else surrounding it.
And get some drinks.
I
know we had a very nice Twitter comment towards you today, which makes you a lot more responsible. We had a listener and a viewer tune in and ask if you drink alcohol.
I do.
Well, you're training for the Olympics, though.
I am, and I mean, I try to stick to like vodka water. In my eyes, it's.
I will tell you, I've seen it with my own eyes. She's very responsible.
There you go. Thank you, Casey.
In comparison to me, does that count?
That does count. Thank you for that.
We're doing like a 1A, 1B, a 1-2. Like, I take the cake of being the most irresponsible. I can promise that. This is the Casey Smith Show live on a Monday with SB Nation Radio nationally, gridironnow.com, Facebook, Twitter, Periscope, iTunes, however you're choosing to listen or watch. We appreciate it. Joined as always by Annie Kuntz. Super Bowl 51 week is here.
Pumped.
Pumped.
Ready to see it.
Opening night / media day, whatever you want to call it, is tonight. We talked about at the beginning of the show, Annie, and all of the off the field stuff and the Tom Brady senior comments and whatever. That's all entertainment. But when you look at this actual matchup, and of course things are gonna unfold this week of, you know, get different game plans, but we really know what these two teams look like. Mm-hmm. We know who they are. We know what they've been all year. And the line is so small. Some people are wondering why the Patriots are even favored. I think that you kind of have to be like, okay, it's Bill Belichick, it's Tom Brady. But you look at the Patriots, they're going to their 7th Super Bowl, looking for number 5. The Falcons have not been there since 98. But Dan Quinn, their head coach, has experience. He's been there 3 times, just not as a head coach. And you look at all that Matt Ryan has done this season, Julio Jones, all of the weapons they've got in Atlanta, the defense in New England. The actual game itself is going to be really good, unless we're just completely off base. But on paper, it looks like it could be one of the most fun Super Bowls to watch in a long time.
Oh, I think it's going to be a really, really good matchup. And you can't count these Falcons out. I mean, the line is small for a reason. And anytime there's motivation, like a first Super Bowl win for a franchise, you know, you got to know that anything going into that game just needs to be tossed out the window, because these guys are going to come in ready. Their defense, like I mentioned, looks completely different than it was. But I mean, you look at the Patriots and Belichick and just how he's formed such
a dynasty, a machine.
And he's kind of formed the scene with just some lower profile players that were not, you know, expecting to make big plays. Hogan was the one that really stood out to me a couple weeks ago, and being a former lacrosse player. And so it's just interesting.
Belichick finds those guys.
It's crazy how he does and kind of molds them. And they have such good team chemistry. We talked to Courtney Cox last week, and she gave us an insight into that. And they just really seem to all be winning and in it for the right reasons and wanting it for each other. And I think they're going to show up to play. And it's just going to be a really, really good matchup.
When you mentioned Courtney Cox of Nesson, we had her on the show last week after they clinched to go to the Super Bowl. And we said, you know, what can you tell us about this team that maybe people who aren't around them don't see? I mean, because a lot of times...
She got that locker room vibe, and she was in there and saw it up close and personal.
And she said, because, you know, Martellus Bennett came out last week and said, you know, hey, or I guess it feels like it was last week. Who knows? The Super Bowl's here, yay! But he came out and he said, you know, we don't care who gets the ball. We don't give a shit, actually.
That's huge.
You know, so we just want to win. And that was his quote. Of course, you know, national radio last week, I couldn't say shit, but here we are. But that's the way they feel, right? I mean, that really is the way they feel. And what she said was that they do actually have that vibe in the locker room. And yeah, it's easy for anybody to be like, we've got the best team chemistry, but you see how this franchise is run and you see what they're able to do. And you have to be like, okay, this is not only just a couple of players. This is a dynasty that's built in New England. And the Bill Belichick, Tom Brady era for the last 16 years has obviously been incredible. So now you look at on the opposite side and what Matt Ryan can help do for the Falcons. And look, next year, you've got the Cowboys coming back. You've got the Packers are not. I mean, you've got all these teams that didn't make it there. But it's not like it's just a shoe-in if Matt Ryan doesn't win the Super Bowl that they're going to be back next year because of all the talent, not only in the NFL, just for every team that's coming in and out. Obviously, you never know what's going to happen. But as a Cowboys fan, I mean, I'm looking next year like, okay, this is the year where they get over that hump. Well, the Falcons are here. It's been such a long drought, and you've got everything going into it. And if you're an Atlanta fan, this is the time to win it. And it, obviously, professional sports and college sports are different. But to me, it's a lot like the national championship in college football this year. You had Clemson, who played Alabama last year, lost. You've got this dynasty that Nick Saban has built in Tuscaloosa, and Clemson comes in as the underdog, and it was their moment to outshine Alabama, and they did. And you know Falcons fans have got to feel that way too.
Oh, 100%. And everyone, I mean, especially me, I love a good underdog story, and there's just so much more motivation that goes into it when they are as an underdog. But I, you know, this game, I think there's so much floating around both sides of it that I wasn't expecting. And these next few days are going to be so fun to see just how much motivation and fire kind of goes into this game.
Well, and a lot of people don't like the buildup, right? They just want the game. I just, you know, the pregame festivities on Sunday, the halftime, the prop bets, which I love prop bets, by the way. Go back to Luke Bryan seeing the national championship, get me all heated up, riled up again. I'm not happy about that decision. But the buildup to me is so much fun too, because it's about, hearing from these guys and seeing that human side of it, talking about sports. Mm-hmm. But one of the interesting storylines is this Falcons defense. And you brought that up. You know, they've really had to kind of evolve over the last half of the season. They've vastly improved since the beginning. But they're going to have to really step up. And when you look at all the different matchups that are going to go into this, what they're going to be able to do against the Patriots offensive line is really important. You know, they went 11-5 this year. But if you look at their loss to the Eagles, and when you really look at the Falcons season, obviously you can point at different things. There's no doubt that the offense is the best in the NFL.
Right.
But when you look at that loss against the Eagles, what Philadelphia was able to do was keep Matt Ryan off the field. They were going to eat up the clock. And I think that they had like 38 minutes worth where they had the ball. That is going to be the key in this game. And I want to hear that being talked about this week because they have to give the offense opportunities if they want to beat the Patriots. And that's obviously something that they cannot do. I mean, they lost five games this season. So it's how much can the defense make sure to slow down Tom Brady and get Matt Ryan on the field? And yes, the defense has looked much better. Obviously, you've got Vic Beasley, who's been a massive factor at linebacker. But can they slow down Tom Brady enough to where they can't control the clock and give Matt Ryan those opportunities because of his arsenal of weapons? We talk about Julio Jones, but look at everybody else he's got. Can they do that? That's the question I want to answer.
That's going to be key.
What is the key of getting Tom Brady off the field?
That's going to be key. I mean, we saw the Falcons obviously get across and really make Aaron Rodgers and Russell Wilson's uncomfortable, and they're going to have to do that against Brady to have any chance at winning this game. But you're going to be down there all week, so what are you looking forward to the most?
Oh my gosh, I don't even know.
You're going to be over there all over. Undisputed say. You're going to be able to Clay Travis.
So I'm going to get to do some radio with Clay Travis, and once I know the exact day, I'll be able to tweet it. But it looks like I'm going to get to do that. I'm going to get to go see couple of the sets, which I'm really excited about, because when you watch them this morning, you see all like the crazy fans that are out there. I'm like, yes, like I want to be a part of that. But I think the really cool thing about, I mean, I went to the Super Bowl when it was in Arlington. I was around all those festivities. The cool thing about this year, again, I talk all this crap about Houston traffic, but when it was in Arlington, you know, they had a team in Fort Worth, a team in Dallas, and then obviously the Super Bowl and everything in Arlington. Right. So spread out. So for traffic, fantastic.
Right.
Everything in Houston is on top of each other. So all the events that are going on, the parties, I'm going to get to see the Chainsmokers and Sam Hunt.
Ugh,
plus, I'm going to get to work in sports. I mean, what can I complain about?
You can't. I'll be living through your Snapchat.
My Snapchat story is a disaster.
That's why I love it.
It is a disaster. So before we go, obviously, we want to hear from you guys. So if you have any questions, comments, concerns, we want to hear from you. What do you think the biggest storyline off the field is going to be? Do you care? Pro Bowl. Happened this week. I didn't watch very much of it. I turned it on for about 30 seconds. I was like, all right. But I saw a great headline come through from a German media outlet, and I didn't get the name of it. So I feel like I'm, you know, remiss. I should have figured out what that, because it's like a German media outlet. That's all it said. Mm-hmm. Talk to Dak Prescott about who he thinks is going to win the Super Bowl. Did you see that?
I did not see it. Who did he say?
He said, and I quote, "Ooh. Tom Brady is Tom Brady. You can't beat him except for me."
Oh,
come on, Dak. Come on, Dak. What do you think about that?
I think that's pretty big for him to say. I mean, he always had an insanely good rookie year, but I mean, we saw RG3 have a really good rookie year, and then where is he now? So, I mean, that's a big, big, big statement for him to say. But it's pretty funny.
I thought it was hilarious. And I mean, and you know, it was so fun. Like the part, you know, the skills challenge is always good to watch, because if you're just bored, right?
Yeah.
But the cool thing about turning on the Pro Bowl for me, and this, I think there's a college skills, I mean, we'll get to that in a little bit. I'm just talking, Laura Rutledge is covering that right now in Dallas. But when I turned on the Pro Bowl and you see the offense lineup and you see Dak and Ezekiel Elliott, and you're like, as a Cowboys fan, you're like, yeah,
here we go.
Yeah, absolutely. But I don't know. I mean, do you think that there's a chance that the Falcons could run away with this? Or, I mean, is there a way that either one of these teams can run away with it?
If they get after Brady, I mean, I think that's going to be key. They're going to have, that defense is going to have to get after him, make him uncomfortable. And it's really, really tough to do. I mean, Brady is the GOAT for a reason. So I don't think that they're really going to be able to run away with it. I think it's going to be a really close game. But I think the Falcons, I'm going to go with the Patriots. I am. I don't like to go against Brady, and they looked really good. They've overcome a lot of obstacles this year, and for them to win with second and third string quarterbacks and all the hoopla with Deflategate, I think that they're going to take this one. But I think it's going to be really close. I'm not going to count the Falcons out though.
I think that the Falcons, I mean, I think if you're going to bet on this game with the spread being so low, I mean, the line at 3, and I assume it'll stay around there.
Yeah.
If you're going to bet, it'd be really difficult either way because
tough.
You're like, oh, like,
both.
I don't like betting. I mean, maybe I'm just a pansy. I don't know, but yeah.
I don't like it either. I'm very frugal.
I don't like betting on lines like this because it's so close. You go either way. We saw a couple of our friends do that, the Alabama-Clemson game.
Yeah.
They did not like the way that game ended up. But I agree with you. I think it's going to be really close. I am going to go with the Patriots. But damn, this offense is so much fun in Atlanta.
It's going to be good. It's going to be
a lot of fun. So are you going to come down and see me maybe?
Well, duh. I have my first meet, though, this Friday. I'm opening up my season. I have my first pentathlon on Friday. So hopefully I'll make it down Saturday to hang out with you.
Yeah. For those of you guys that don't know, Annie is training for the Olympics.
Yeah,
I can finally call you an Olympian for real, right?
No. Not yet.
Well, this is the Casey Smith Show wrapping up on a Monday. Thanks for listening on SB Nation Radio nationally, Gridiron Now, and of course any social media outlets you choose. We'd love to hear from you. Comments, if you compliments, concerns, whatever you have, send them in and we'll get to those. But just real quick, obviously this Baylor situation, Annie, and the Super Bowl is what's taking the cake right now. I mean, everybody's talking about it, but over the weekend, starting on Friday, more details of the Baylor scandal came out. It made me absolutely furious. I had to have you edit some tweets of mine because I was like dropping F-bombs because I was so angry about what came out. The New York Post, the Dallas Morning News, a bunch of people came out with even more details of just how awful this Baylor scandal is. I just do not understand how it can get any worse at this point. But every time we've said that, something else has come out.
Something else. I mean, it's just the whole Baylor situation just makes my skin crawl, honestly. And for more and more to keep coming out and the numbers to get higher and higher like they are, it's really, really unfortunate to see. But obviously, did you see the students that taped the 52 paper cutouts around campus? So students taped 52 paper cutouts in the shape of people to the ground on the Fountain Mall, which is near the student center, to represent the 52 acts of rape that Friday's lawsuit claims were committed by 31 football players between 2011 and 2014. So, I mean, it's just the numbers just continue to increase and more keeps coming out. And it's pretty disgusting.
It's awful. And then the one quote that I actually pulled out when I tweeted it that was just awful was, and I mean, it's all awful. It doesn't matter if it's one case, if it's one player, it doesn't matter. But that there are multiple reported rapes of 10 or more players at one time. And I do not understand it. And I mean, we could talk about this. People are still defending our bridals. In fact, I had a guy tweet at me and say, this is fake news. I'm like, what world are you living in?
It's like the Twilight Zone. I'm like, how is it?
It just keeps getting worse. And again, like, I think that every time I see Baylor news come out, I'm like, okay, how much worse can this get? How many more players were involved? And these assistant coaches have jobs.
Mm-hmm.
They have jobs. And you read about how it was, you know, Kendall Briles, our Briles' son, who was on staff, was asking, you know, what kind of women these recruits like, using sex to sell, asking if they like white women and how many white women go to Baylor. It's absolutely disgusting. Mm-hmm. And in a time where we talk about how we want to use sports to escape, when you see stories like this that so override sports and fandom,
so much bigger,
it's disgusting.
Mm-hmm. Well, in the current lawsuit, so the documents list that Elizabeth Doe, of air quotes, says she was raped by two football players in 2013. That there were a dozen more assaults of women involving their players, and then the lawsuit alleges that the football program operated under a "show 'em a good time" policy that used sex to sell Baylor to high school recruits.
Disgusting.
And this woman was a member of a campus group called the Baylor Bruins, which that hosts prospective athletes for the program, and it's just sick, and it honestly makes my skin crawl, and I think Baylor should be shut down for it. Honestly,
shut them down. There was another report that came out that a student athletic trainer had been raped by a football player and was given free tuition to stay quiet from Baylor. It is disgusting. And at this point, you know, the NCAA chose not to pursue the death penalty a while back. Now with all these recruiting violations, you would think, okay, sell sex, get player. Well, I mean, this is ridiculous. And the fact that nothing has been done and that some of these assistant coaches still have massive jobs makes
no sense
to me. How do
they even sleep at night? Like, I honestly don't understand how anything could function like that. And Baylor obviously declined comments on Friday. And I mean, this is the nation's largest Baptist university.
That's what's even
more ironic. I do not understand how this happens.
And look, things like this, unfortunately, are probably going on all over the country. I think this, though, is big because it was a culture that was obviously being harbored
and still
and thrown under the rug. And what we've seen now is just how awful it's gotten and how awful it was. And those poor victims who have to sit at home and watch Art Briles say he was unfairly treated and discriminated against. I'm like, get the hell out of here. Like, it's just awful. And like I said, you know, politics, I'm not going to get into all of that because that's not what we get paid to talk about. But this story is just, it's disgusting, just like the Penn State was disgusting. Mm-hmm. And as women who work in this industry, it's so difficult to read and see. And I know every single guy in my life, from my dad all the way down to my best guy friends, none of them understand where this is coming from. And I just don't know how much worse it can get mm-hmm. before something has to be done to Baylor.
I don't either. And that the victims here is what stands out to me. And if anyone that I knew was involved with something like this, I just can't imagine looking and seeing how all this is coming out and knowing how bad it truly is. And that it just keeps getting swept under the rug. And it just makes my skin crawl.
I know you and I could talk about this for a long time. But we're not going to. It's Super Bowl 51 week. We're going to choose to stay a little bit more positive. But again, thoughts and prayers with all those victims at mm-hmm. Baylor and all across the world yeah. that people are dealing with this. So, you know, people like Brenda Tracy who are coming out and speaking against it.
That's a lot of courage.
A lot of courage, and people need more people like that in the world. Not mm-hmm. people like Art Briles.
No.
I said it.
Especially
I hate Art Briles. He's disgusting. This is the Casey Smith Show wrapping up on a Monday. If you guys have any questions, comments, concerns, we want to hear from you. But Super Bowl 51 week is here. Media day / opening night is tonight in preparation for the game on Sunday. Mm-hmm. Lots of interaction in Houston. And I know a Facebook comment, if you need parking, where do you go to park?
www.parqu.com.
Go there.
Parqu.
Can you imagine parking there?
No. And I want to go down Saturday, but I don't even know how the heck I'm going to finagle my way down there.
Get your Uber early.
Flat rate of $40 before you... I mean, you could be going two blocks away, and it's a $40 Uber.
I might be walking a lot.
Yeah, we'll get our exercise in. Burn those calories we'll be drinking.
Thanks for hanging out with us today, guys, on SB Nation Radio, nationally, Gridiron Now, and of course, all of our social media. Like we said, we want to hear from you. So go on Twitter, Casey, K-A-Y-C-E, Smith, or Casey Smith TV on Facebook. We appreciate you guys. Always. We're on iTunes. Mm-hmm. We know we have a lot of people that like to podcast. So if you ever want to watch us, which sounds super creepy and weird, but go to social media and we can do that. And this is our only show from College Station. I'm going to be doing some random social media stuff throughout the week, but
we'll keep you posted.
We'll keep you posted. I mean, being at Radio Row in Houston, I mean, I can't pass that
opportunity up. No, I would be pretty upset with you if you did.
Well, maybe we'll get Clay Travis to come on the show with us.
That would be entertaining. In person. Tune in.
From a club.
That would be awesome.
Bottle I can't service. Promise that, but we can make sure that happens. Thanks for hanging out, guys. Annie Coons, Casey Smith, we'll see you later on in the week. And then, of course, next week, breaking down the Super Bowl. Lots of fun. Go find us on social media. We'll keep you updated from Houston.
Stay friendly.
Stay friendly, my friends. Life's too short to be angry.